Gracious God, we thank you again for today and for this time for us to come together and to hear your promises, to find hope in your presence. Lord, we pray that you would strengthen us today as we hear your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We know summer is here. There are signs that are evident to us. We see the storms already this morning that are a sure sign of summer. If it were not summer, that would have been white a lot more than what we experienced earlier today. I'm not talking about the hail. I guess that's a little bit white. But we see the weather has really shifted. 90-plus degree temperatures the last few days. We're in the middle of summer. The kids are home from school now, going to the pool or doing other things, trying not to get in trouble, trying to stay busy throughout the summer months. Summer is all around us, and if you needed anything else to show you that we are in summer, we're studying the book of Numbers. We're continuing our summer sermon series as we journey through the Torah. We've already looked at Genesis 3 years ago, 2 years ago. We looked at Exodus. Last year was Leviticus. This year we're looking at Numbers, a sure sign of summer, and to be sure. And as we look at Numbers today and in the coming weeks and throughout the summer, one thing that you need to be reminded of once again, it's that story that God provides to us, starting in Genesis. We see it already in Genesis. We see it in Exodus, Leviticus. We'll see it in Numbers as well. And this is that story that we talked about. God's creation, rebellion, not God's rebellion, our rebellion, God's redemption and restoration. You recall, in the book of Genesis, we see right away, God created the heavens and earth and everything in it. God created everything and created it good. In time, humans rebelled against God. They sinned in the Garden of Eden. They carried on that sin beyond that place. We sin to this very day. We see as well God's redemption. We see that in his deliverance of the Israelites from Egypt, from Exodus. But we see that redemption for us in the coming of his son, Jesus, who has atoned for our sins, paid for them in full, wiped them away. We are redeemed by the blood of Jesus, who went to the cross for us. And then you see that restoration as well. That restoration in which God's people are restored in that relationship with him. We are in that relationship with our Father in heaven as well. That restoration is not a one-time thing. It continues. We know that we are in that relationship with God now, but ultimately we'll be restored in that perfect relationship with him for all eternity in his house. That's what we wait for. We're really good at two things in God's story. We're really good at rebellion and redemption. That's so much of the time what we focus on. We focus on our sin and our need for a Savior, and we focus on God's providing his son Jesus to redeem us from our sins, and all is good. But we need to remember in creation and restoration as well. That's a part of God's story. That's a part of our story with God. And in that restoration, we see that relationship with God developing. We see what God asks of us throughout the scriptures. It's not just that we're saved, but that we proclaim this message to others in our words and our actions, that we share with others this amazing message because it's a message for everyone. There are many in the world around us that don't know this message, that don't know any of these steps, don't know about the rebellion, don't know about the redemption. Or if they've heard about it, maybe they haven't believed. So we have an opportunity to continue in that relationship, that restored relationship with our God, and share with the world around us God's grace, God's love, to tell others about Jesus and his redemption, and to live as brothers and sisters in Christ, to live as followers of Jesus, his disciples, as those who would share his love with others. We're having a wonderful opportunity for the youth in a couple of weeks, middle school and high school, but it's much more than just taking a trip to Idaho or to Duluth. It's in our everyday living as well. It's in the everyday contacts that we have with others that we can share with them God's love, God's grace, and ultimately God's plan of redemption and restoration as we recognize our rebellion and our need for that relationship with our God. This is all happening in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and now in Numbers as well. We want to remember this story clearly. Now, this journey that the Israelites were going on. This story in the book of Numbers, it's an interesting thing because this is a journey that should have taken them a couple of weeks. If they would have got going right away, if they would have followed the Lord, if they would have listened to Him and trusted in Him, they would have made it to the promised land, the land of Canaan, the land that God said to Abraham, this will be your land in a couple of weeks. But instead, it takes them 40 years to get there. They followed their own map, as you can see, and they didn't know what was going on. And as we look at the book of Numbers, we see again and again the Israelite people straying from the Lord, having a hard time trusting in Him, having a hard time with obedience. Again and again and again, they disobeyed the Lord. They wanted their own way to happen. They wanted to do their own thing. At points in the scriptures, not just in Numbers here, but in other books in Exodus as well, rather, as we look at the Israelite people, there were more than one time where the Israelites said, let's just go back to Egypt. At least there we knew what we had. We had a bed. We had food. Yeah, life may not have been perfect, but it sure beats what we're going through right now. As they're going through the wilderness, they're complaining to God because not just that they're hungry, but that when God does feed them, that they don't like the food. It's boring. It's the same thing over and over. They're complaining about being thirsty. They're complaining about going to this land that God has promised them and entering this land because it's already occupied. And the people who are there are much bigger than us and more numerous than us and will never survive. Over and over again, we're going to see these stories and we're going to see the Israelites grumbling and complaining and going their own way. And as long as they're doing this, God's going to lead them in circles. They're in the wilderness. Takes them 40 years for that message to get through. 40 years. A generation of people who didn't enter the promised land because of their disobedience. And it tells us that there are consequences for sin, right? There were consequences for sin. We know that. We've experienced the consequences of our sin. But one thing I would caution you is that we don't take what we read in Numbers and say that every single time we sin, we are going to be punished specifically for that sin in specific ways. Okay? And here's what I mean by this. As we look at God's Word, we see that there's an understanding among God's people that we are punished for our sins, and rightfully so, we are. But at the same time, there are examples in Scripture that would tell us that we live in a broken world. This world is a sin-filled world, and that sin impacts every one of us in a variety of ways. And it's not always a punishment from God that we're experiencing this punishment for this specific sin. So I'll give you an example. As we look at God's Word, we see in John chapter 9, Jesus has an encounter with a man who was born blind. His disciples ask Jesus, who sinned this man or his parents that he was born blind? They were convinced, they believed, they knew that since he was blind, he must have sinned or his parents have sinned. This was a consequence of sin that he was born blind. And what's Jesus' response? He says, neither. It wasn't this man, nor was it his parents. He was born blind for another reason, that I might be glorified, that I might be made known in this moment. Not every bad thing is a consequence of sin. The trials that we face sometimes impact us because of the sin in the world around us. And the only reason I share this with you is I want to make sure that you understand that if you're going through a trial of any kind right now, it's not automatically because of a specific sin that you've done. We're impacted by the sin in the world around us. We're impacted in such a way that we find our lives filled with burdens and trials. There were consequences for our sins. And there are times where our sin has a very specific consequence. I don't mean to say that it doesn't. There are times where that is very clear and understood. But we also need to recognize, because we live in this broken world, sin affects us all in ways that we don't want to be affected, but we're a part of this world. We're a part of the problem. We're a part of the impact that sin has in our lives as well. Sometimes it's not fair. Sometimes it's not because of something I've done. but it's come my way. And so as we recognize that, it's important that we also remember that as we're going through our wilderness experience, just as the Israelites did, God never left the Israelites. God doesn't leave us. He's with us through the wilderness as well, through our barren times, our trying times, the hardships that we face. We need to remember that. God is with us. And whatever trial we're experiencing, His presence is clear. And we need to cling to that presence. Well, I've said a lot already, and we haven't looked at the book of Numbers just yet. And so we need to look at Numbers, right? And so our readings today are from Matthew and from Hebrews. Well, starting next week, we're going to look at the book of Numbers. But starting today, we are still taking into account what's going on in the book of Numbers as we look at the life of Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, the temptations that he experienced, and as we look at the words from the author of the book of Hebrews. And we see some parallels in Jesus' temptation by the devil and the Israelites as well as they're journeying through the wilderness. First of all, Jesus starts in the wilderness. The Holy Spirit, after his baptism, takes him into the wilderness. Jesus is there for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, it's not 40 years, but you see the parallel. You see the way that we could look at Jesus' time, these 40 days without food, these 40 days fasting, and then the temptations that he experienced. There's a difference between Jesus and the Israelites, and we know that. We obviously see that. But the biggest difference is Jesus trusted in God's plan. Jesus knew God's story, knew that God was with him, and trusted that God would continue to provide for him, even in the midst of these temptations. And so as Jesus is tempted by the devil, Jesus is hungry, he's starving, turn these stones into bread, Jesus says no. The Israelites, when they're hungry, they're starving, they're going through the desert, God provides them with manna and quail. The Israelites say, really? You see the difference. There's not a trust in God. Instead, they're wanting it their own way. God says, or Jesus says, God will provide. The Israelites say, that's not good enough. We see that again and again. We see in Jesus being tempted by the devil every way, and Jesus responds and says, I'm trusting in my God. I'm not listening to you, but I'm trusting in him. And you better believe that when the Israelites were experiencing these trials, these burdens, these temptations, those temptations were placed upon them by the devil. And the difference is they fell under the weight of those temptations. And Jesus did not. And that's a good thing for us. Had Jesus fallen even to just one of those temptations, then he would have been another in a long line of sinners in need of a Savior. But Jesus didn't. He remained strong. He remained faithful. He trusted in the Lord. He remained sinless. And in Jesus, we have that redemption. We have that restored relationship with our God as well. Jesus, in his life here on this earth, was fully human. We know that. He was fully human. He was also divine. But as a human here on this earth, he faced all kinds of temptations, all kinds of trials, not just what he experienced there in the wilderness, but throughout his life. He faced all kinds of hardships and burdens as well. We see that in our scripture from Hebrews chapter 4. The author of Hebrews tells us in verse 15, this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. So whatever we've experienced, however we've experienced it, the author of Hebrews tells us Jesus has experienced it as well. He's seen the hardship. He's seen the hurt, the burden, the trial. He's experienced the persecution, the separation, the hatred. Separation from God, abandonment from those closest to him. He's seen the loss of loved ones. Jesus has experienced all of these things, and yet, in the midst of it, never sinned. And Jesus, fully human, remained perfect. Remained in that relationship with his Father in heaven with our Father in heaven. And in so doing, paves the way for us as well to continue to live in that restored relationship with our God. Now the question becomes, as we think about our own experiences, the challenges that we face in life, the trials and burdens that we've experienced, the loss of loved ones, the persecutions, the trials that are in the world around us, the pains that come our way, how do we respond? We've got two responses that we can make. One is we can be like Jesus and say, in the midst of it all, I trust in you, Lord. You are with me. You've never abandoned me. You are always with me. Or two, we can be like the Israelites. And we can say, boy, it sure was nice being in Egypt. It wasn't perfect, but it was better than what we're experiencing now. We can return to our old way of living, to our sins, return to a place that God never wants us to be. We know what we ought to do. We know that we need to place our trust in the Lord. We know that we have in Him our God who loves us and shows His grace to us repeatedly. One of the things that you're going to see as we look at the book of Numbers throughout this summer series, you're going to see the Israelites' disobediences and sins, their selfish ways, their struggles. You're going to see their punishments and consequences as a result of their sins. You're also going to see God's grace. You're going to see God's forgiveness. You're going to see God's healing. These are God's chosen people. These are the ones that God has said, I will make you into a great nation. And God continues to love them in spite of their disobediences. And we say, looking at our own lives today, the same is true for us. In spite of our disobediences, in spite of our lack of trust, God's grace remains. He continues to love us. He continues to be with us, blesses us with His presence. He guides us. He shares with us His peace. As we look at verse 16 in Hebrews chapter 4, the author says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive His mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most. So I don't know what your trials are, what your burdens are. Pastor Derek may not know. Maybe you've shared some of those burdens, some of those trials. God knows what your trials are, what your burdens are. God promises to be with you through those burdens. When we're going through the wilderness ourselves, when we're going through that time in our lives where the world around us is dried up, where we feel alone, we feel forgotten, we feel left out, always remember God's presence. He is there with you. That's what the author of Hebrews promises us. This is what God gave to the author of Hebrews to write. God is there. He is gracious and loving. He shows mercy. He's there when we need Him most. So whatever you're going through, whether it's a positive time right now or if it's a time of trial, just know that God is with you. If you're going through the wilderness, you're not going through it alone. Even with the Israelites, in spite of all of the burdens that they experienced because of their sin, God was with them. God was leading them. It took them 40 years to follow where God was leading them. But ultimately, they made it into that promised land. That generation didn't enter, but the younger generations did. They trusted. They believed. They experienced that restored relationship with God. Follow the Lord. He's leading you. And if you're in the wilderness, cling to Him. He'll lead you out. He'll lead you to that place that is flowing with milk and honey. And I'm not talking about the land of Canaan. Ultimately, He promises to take us to be with Him. And Jesus tells us that there were many rooms in His Father's house, and we're welcome there. And so, trust in the Lord, always. Watch as we go through this sermon series and see that the disobediences, the sins, the lack of trust, but also see God's grace and be restored in that relationship with God. Walk with Him, follow Him, where he leads you. He's leading you to a pretty great place. And it's hard to see in the wilderness, but ultimately, he'll reveal it to you. Amen? We pray. Father, we thank you again. We thank you for your words of hope that you share with us in these words today. We are reminded, O Lord, that even though Jesus experienced many temptations from the devil, not just these three in our text today, but beyond that, he remained sinless. He was perfect. And he went to the cross to take our sins upon himself. We thank you, O Lord, for his perfection that rests upon us. We thank you, O Lord, for your mercy and your grace that you continue to shower upon us as well. May we trust in you in good times and times of trial. May we follow you. May we worship you and praise you, always giving thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.